with joy and celebration and thinking about how we can go forth and serve in a compassionate way our sisters and brothers. I'd like to share with you 10 points. We can talk about them a little bit. 10 points that talk about the things you can take away, maybe, as being part of the challenge of fulfilling your journey in community, whatever that might be. We are debating, well, what is community? I mean, you know, you read Jean Vanier and you read Now and you read all these people, and community can be everything from your family to your church community to your work community to an intentional community to the neighborhood, and there are many aspects of it. And I think the key is to always keep in mind one's own personal journey and the corporate journey, and within that, to consider these points of all that we've been doing this last 3 days. I can't believe it's over. Anyway, first one, and we've done this a lot for our cancer workshops. Let me just say one word about that. Cancer, people with cancer, diagnosis of cancer, have a heightened sense of one's mortality, number one. Number two, they learn to get into the question very quickly. Either that, or they have two choices. One is just to be in denial, and really that's a legitimate way out of this miserable existence. And it may be about 40-50%, I think. We've decided that's about the case. The other group of folks begin to live very intentionally now. And these guidelines or these points or whatever we've kind of put together to help focus that. And I think it's certainly worth looking at for all of us, not just someone who has cancer. We probably should live as if we might have cancer. You know, that's... Okay, one, seek healing, not just a cure. And that sort of summarizes the bent axis model, the journey. Seek healing, not just a cure. Two, live fully the now moment. Live fully the now moment. That's a real gift when one can begin to do that. I get glimpses of doing that. I get it up here and hold them. I guess that's why it's hard to leave. Three, seek change and growth. Seek change and growth. Seek it out. Be transformed in mind, body, and spirit. Like it says in Romans 12:1, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do the perfect will of God, isn't it? Is that how it's completed? Yeah. The complete or the whole or the mature will of God or the inclusive will of God. Four, seek to live without fear and anxiety. Fear of pain, fear of death, for example. Seek to live without fear and anxiety. Five, seek to become whole, not perfect. That sure ties to Scott's message last night, the Eucharist. be complete or whole or inclusive or mature as your Father in heaven is complete, inclusive, whole. It's the whole essence of that word. And six, take responsibility for your life. Become proactive rather than reactive. Avoid becoming a victim.
There are no victims, only volunteers.
Only volunteers, yeah. We cling to false securities. Seven. Boy, I'm off today. Seven. Learn to play and laugh and become childlike. Learn to play and laugh and become childlike. Humor is very healing. Jesus was very funny. I think. It's a wonderful book called The Humor of Christ by Cal Samantha. And it's just, it's really good. You say things like, going through the eye of a needle, camels, all these funny metaphors, and they're really humorous, pithy. But learn to play and laugh and become childlike. Eight, make positive choices in lifestyle that are life-giving, not life-denying. Conclude all lots of things, from habits to attitudes. Nine, learn to love and forgive unconditionally. Learn to love and forgive unconditionally. It's probably the hardest one. And 10 is live in the question, back to the very first part of the whole time together, to live in the question. It's only in the question that space is created for something new to happen. I think that's how we started this time together. It's only in the question that something new can happen. There are no quick, fancy, fast answers, whether that's sexuality or spirituality or whatever, just is not there. And like we were in Bible study today, talking about the Magnificat, and that Mary took all these things and pondered them in her heart, not sure she had the answers. Do you know that Jesus asked over 100 questions in the Synoptic Gospels? That's just what's recorded. Must have asked thousands and thousands of questions. He'd always fire back with a question and then give a story. So it always threw you off balance. He didn't give answers that, you know, not like that. Not so clearly.
Maybe he wanted to keep us out of our head.
Yeah, it's the Pharisees and the lawyers and all the people that came after him all the time were always out to trap him in the head. And he always changed it to the heart stuff. And it's like, oh. Like the ultimate life question of the lawyer saying, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? I mean, that's the ultimate life answer, or life question. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what's the law say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, all that. Yeah, you've answered rightly, but then let me tell you a story. And then he changes the question. The question becomes, then, who is your neighbor? That's a very different question. And he gives, and the whole sense of this faceless person, the Samaritan, who the Jews hated, who intermarried racially and with the Ammonites and all that sort of thing. and it becomes that person who is most faceless, who is your neighbor. And boy, when we can touch these 10 things and get in touch with that, then community becomes possible. There's a terrific little book for those of you that claim that you're over 35, admit it. It's called On Growing Older, A Personal Guide to Life After 35 by Eugene Bianchi. And Dr. Bianchi is a theologian and sociologist, writes marvelous stuff. The first book that I read of his is called Aging as a Spiritual Journey. And for those of you that are involved in that process and or work with folks, the options aren't too. I would highly recommend Eugene Bianchi. In fact, he has the same press I did, Crossroads. And these are a whole series of meditations based on issues of growing into elderhood from as we leave youth and growing into elderhood, and that whole process. Topics like deepening faith, reconciling opposites, developing respect, living truthfully, reclaiming nature, remembering ourselves, facing abandonment, beautiful stuff. This was on hoping. That's what I'd like to leave us with. Just some reflection on hoping. Just try to get a posture for quiet, however that is for you. Let's do a few breathing exercises. Breathing brings us to our center and allows us to quiet that which is spinning around. Let's go out of our head and into our heart. Take a deep cleansing breath and let it out. Taking in the ruach, the breath of God, the wind, the spirit of God, letting go of anything that might be prohibiting you from being present to the now moment. Try to get in the now moment. Try to let go of leaving here and what you have to pack or what you want to run to the bookstore for or whatever. Just let the breath become your focus as it comes in and out. Acknowledge that there are some painful things still floating around with you. That's okay. Just gently give them the message that you'll attend to them later. Imagine yourself just pushing aside all the accoutrement of power and prestige and wealth that offer illusory hope. You may have respect for these things, but you set them aside in an increasingly subordinate place. You are becoming a seeker of more valuable qualities in the remaining time, seeking truth, showing kindness and respect, doing justice, expanding your network of care. And these concerns become ever more important to you. And even as we grow older, each moment, each day, let us live it at a higher level of spiritual and ethical intensity. Bring to mind now persons who are closest to you, family, friends, associates. Think about what each of these persons needs most from you at this present time. Be aware of your breathing still. And as you inhale, go within and find these qualities in yourself that you can contribute to these concrete individuals as they come up. Find those qualities, and as you exhale, see yourself giving forth this gift from yourself to each person. Visualize them embracing your gift and making it part of themselves. Just as your own children carry physical traits of yours, if you have children, these individuals will become your future because you will live on in them beyond your own physical death. Change the focus to some group to which you have made valuable contributions. Imagine this group or social movement or whatever it is attaining some of its goals and creating still new purposes. The group may well outlive you, but it too is your own future. The realization of things hoped for. Take comfort and satisfaction in this corporate union. You will live on in it. Now, if you can, in this section, see yourself looking down a lovely road in a thick forest. Around the turn ahead appears a vision of light. You are amazed, but not frightened. As the light approaches, you notice a luminescent human figure with hands outstretched to you in greeting. Suddenly you realize that the apparition is the benevolent presence of the divine coming toward you as your future. You do not know what lies around the bend in the road, but the vision has touched experiences in your soul, experiences that you have encountered before. You can trust the beckoning figure. It feels right to move forward into your future, linked to God's future. You sense that around the turn in the road, it will extend forever. You understand that you are part of God's future. Your hope is attained. You are vitally at peace in the divine spirit. We'd welcome any questions or comments about our time with you. Buddy in the peanut gallery.
Well, I want to say a rich thank you to all the people you brought. This weekend has meant a lot to me. It wasn't at all what I expected when I came up here. I have to chuckle because I've talked to several people who have grumbled and kind of groaned by the statement live and the questions. I've heard a variety of people say, well, I want some answers, doggone it. But for me, your approach of looking at the sense of wholeness and healing, for me, was an excellent way to look at my singleness, because I think in some ways singleness by itself indicates brokenness. There's a sense of, if you define yourself as single, there's a sense of not maybe feeling a part of community or a part of a group or a part of a couple or a part of something. And it's like there needs to be a healing process. And I feel like this can be a very unique beginning for myself in road toward wholeness. And I think it's reiterated again for me that too often I, as a single person, look toward finding that significant other or whatever in my life, where maybe it's better to look at many significant others as a part of community, as a part of a group, people that can be brothers to me, people that can be sisters to me, as well as maybe someone that would be in a marriage relationship or something. But anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. You know, we're much, when we discussed this over a number of planning for this, we were much more comfortable giving answers. I mean, because we're all very smart and we all have lots of good stuff. I mean, we could give you lots of neat little boxes. Oh, we could. You know, we're all educated and all this sort of thing. We could give you all kinds of wonderful theories. But I don't think that probably isn't as satisfying in the long run.
I came for answers. Didn't get many. Got a lot of questions. But in that, I feel more at peace with the questions. Just having questions there. Came up, you know, all these things flying around in my head before I came up. I need to find the answers. Where are the answers? And they're not there yet. And I feel more comfortable about having questions.
We keep coming back to the quote that Ken made earlier by Rilke of, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart. And unlock those questions. Say it for me. How does it go?
Yes.
Rooms.
To love the question themselves like locked rooms and like books that are written in a very foreign tongue. I mean, that's really quite something. In a very foreign tongue.
Yes. There's a card in the bookstore with that quote on.
Somebody gave it to me in our staff for Christmas. It drawn my name, and I have it on my desk now, and I look at it all the time. It's really quite profound.
I'm struck by the way Jesus taught it, oftentimes and primarily in parables. Well, that was one form of teaching. And how unsettling that is. Jesus was and is a troublemaker. Thinking of a little sign that is on my former roommate's wall, Jesus and his troublemakers go merrily along. There's this little sketch of
skipping around.
And There's something about that that there is real life and healing in, because then we can move when we will love the questions.
I was thinking too at times that it might be helpful to have smaller groups rather than as big a group as we always have, because there are a lot of ideas that come that you can't seem to bring together when you have such a large group.
Part of it is trying to fit all that into time allotted, unless one just spends a few moments and then break into small groups. And
that's a good way to make it real and bring it home. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'd like to just thank you all for being here too, because this was my first visit to Holden, so it was a real experience. Plus, having this weekend, brings a lot of questions, a lot of confirmations about a lot of the things that I've gone through or that I'm at right now. So I'm planning on buying your book, The Journey to Wholeness, and reading that.
Yeah, if any of you are interested, I didn't bring a copy, but it I think it's in the bookstore here. And
no, I was down there looking for it. I didn't ask.
Oh, him. Is it out?
It's been there.
It's been there.
Yeah, so
are they getting more? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess these people won't be here, so it won't matter.
They can always write them.
Yeah, we have some at the center too, but you can get it in any bookstore.
Okay.
Yeah, it has some exercises. There are lots of exercises in there. The whole second half is exercises of questions. It's all questions. The whole second half is questions. It's really what it is. About sexuality, a lot of people were very frustrated about our sexuality session. Well, we did that on purpose. But there's lots of stuff in there to explore more of that. Write your sexual autobiography, for instance. That's something you ought to do. Spend hours doing it. How is nudity treated in your family? How is all that stuff? And all those questions are in that book, The Journey Toward Wholeness. That all impacts on how you view genital sexuality, anything.
Is there answers to the questions also?
Oh, I can't help myself, of course. If you only do this, you'll be fine, right?
I might have questions, but I look in the back of the book and find the answers too.
Well, in a hurry. If that were the case, there wouldn't be all these books written all the time. I mean, we'd just go read the holy scriptures, which are in themselves contradictory.
Well.
these are
the answers change over time.
Yeah.
Aren't we sometimes looking for answers like a math book where we have an algebra equation
exactly.
And we want to search in the back and maybe that's not even the way. Well, I think most of us know that's not the way life works.
See, we either intellectualize or we deny the paradox and the mystery, and that's what is so lacking in the church, I think, is allowing people to ask the question and enter into the mystery and the paradox of it all. But since franchise religion really wants to control, basically, and keep the numbers high and all that sort of thing, we dogmatize and put God in a box and our own little theories in a box, and this is the way it is. That's the worst of the fundamentalistic movement. Because there are the answers are right here. Thank you very much. All you do is take it off the shelf, and here's your answer for sex, and here's your answer for this, and this, and this. Oh, if I had to live like that, I'd die. My spirit. So it's an entering, allow yourself to enter the mystery. Whether that's talking to the trees or whatever. But
then our heart is prepared to receive the answer.
Yeah.
For us.
And how the Christ comes.
I think you made a good point too, because I think that the answer comes as we open our heart. I think what we try to do in this culture, which is, as might bring us back to what Ken said earlier in the conferences, is that to the Easterner, answers didn't come through the head. I think we in our Western culture look for the answers in our head. But as I look back on my life, I had answers in my head, but I didn't follow them. Just think back. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I didn't do what people told me were the answers. I don't know about you, but I didn't. So why do I think that I'm going to do if somebody gives me an answer in a conference? Why do I think I'm going to do it, huh? I mean, you know, let's get real.
It might depend on whether you want the answer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. See, it's in the heart. Yeah.
The follow-up to this conference is learning to come closer to the divine so that that infilling can happen. I mean, that's... We try.
Yeah, that was the whole point of this weekend. Last night really was the crux of it. That was the substance. Jesus Christ. It isn't about answers. It's about drawing near in the question to the Christ.
Yeah.
Who alone can heal us.
And experiencing the answer that might not be able to be defined.
It's about relationship.
Yeah. It's creating that space so that that can happen.
And in that lies community.
And then who needs answers?
We're talking in riddles.
Psychobabble.
Yeah.
Theobabble. Theobabble, yeah.
That's a new one for God talking. Thanks very much. It's been a privilege.
Have a
parting prayer.
Maybe before we do that, so we can end just with that off. I hope that everybody has a chance to give us some feedback. If you don't want to do that in writing, or you want to take it with you and send it back, that's fine. Or if you just verbally want to tell me a little bit about what you might want next year, or how you felt about this weekend, and what you might have wanted more of. We're constantly trying to redesign, which answers you want next year.
This year was the question, next year's the answers.
And I want to draw your attention to the singles week that will happen the first week of our summer program in June. I think most of you should have gotten a brochure inside your room assignment. I think we're really lucky to have the teaching staff that we're going to have then. Those folks are listed. It's been a real popular time to come to Holden. We kind of encourage more singles, not because we don't want them throughout the summer, but rather oftentimes if you're without children, schools aren't out yet in June, and so that first week is in some ways a good time to come to Holden. But children are welcome then also. It's just that a lot of times they're in school yet. So. Please feel free to take extra if you know other people or you belong to some singles groups that might want to know about those. Please do that. We also have a few more retreats the rest of this winter. Our next one is a men and spirituality retreat that happens in mid-March. And we have some great leaders coming for that. They'll be looking at a book by James Nelson, The Intimate Connection. Another one written by Robert Fossum from Hazleton called Catching Fire. And that's a gathering of just men. The leaders are Ray McKeever and Keith Olsted and Tony Machado. And it's a combination of a lot of music and And those guys have all been in a men's group together over a period of, I think, maybe 5 or 6 years, and do men, study men's issues for the Lutheran Church, as well as perform musically together. So it'll be a really fun weekend. And then the last weekend of our retreat schedule is an adult children's retreat that will happen April 20th to 23rd. That will include also a celebration of Mother Earth and our human family, because it happens on Earth Day, which is that Sunday. So we'll kind of have an environmental Sabbath celebration that weekend as well.